The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey everyone, I'm Sam.
And I'm Sean.
And you're listening to Key to the Case. Welcome back. This is our sixth episode, and I'm particularly excited to get into this one because it's our first case outside of the US. This case takes place in Ireland, which I've never been to, but I've always wanted to visit. And Sean, I know you've been there.
Yeah, after college, I backpacked through Europe for 3 weeks. And the last week I was backpacking, I went over to Dublin and I spent most of the week there. I did take a bus ride over to the Cliffs of Moher, and that was beautiful and awesome. And I'd really like to go back. And fun fact, I'm actually half Irish, and my last name is McBride. And my family has been talking about making a trip up to Donegal, Ireland, which is pretty much the northern tip of Ireland, right before you go into Northern Ireland. And that's where the McBrides are from. So we've been talking about it. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's been thrown out there.
Yeah, you've mentioned Ireland is one of your favorite countries you visited out of the 100 or so, it seems, that you visited. So yeah, it's on my list for sure. But I think we can get right into today's case. Tina Satchwell was 45 years old at the time of her disappearance in 2017. Tina was born and raised in Fermoy, which is in East County Cork, Ireland, and Tina grew up in a large family. She has three brothers and she's the youngest of five girls, so I can imagine it was a busy household at all times, and Tina's parents adored her. She and her siblings had a typical childhood, often spending days playing outside with their friends. Tina moved to England when she was 16, where she lived with one of her sisters and her mom. Tina was known to have a love for fashion. And I'd say it's clear from the photos of her that she really has a unique style. And her sister said she has never met anyone who loved clothes and jewelry as much as Tina did. Tina has a big heart for animals as well. She has two dogs, one named Ruby and one named Heidi, who are incredibly special to her. And this is also apparent through the photos of her. There are quite a few pictures of her with the dogs, so we'll be sure to share some of those on our social media. Tina is described as bubbly, happy, polite, and it's evident that Tina's just her own person. There's no one quite like her. 17-year-old Tina met the man who would become her husband, Richard, who was 21 at the time, just a few months after she moved to England. Richard lived just a couple doors down from Tina, and the pair struck up a relationship. So if you're doing the math, at the time of Tina's disappearance, she had been with Richard for 28 years, a considerable amount of time. And also, if you're doing the math, they were 4 years apart when they got together, which is normal, right? But he was 21 and she was 17. Tina is by far, and by Richard's own admission, the more outgoing and extroverted one of the pair, Richard is more of an introvert, a little more reclusive. Sadly, when Richard and Tina met, Richard's family gave him an ultimatum. If he were to choose to be with Tina, they would not be in his life because they were, in Richard's own words, anti-Irish. Richard chose Tina and subsequently cut ties with his family, and ties would remain cut from that point on. This made me sad for Richard and Tina. Richard's family never experienced the benefit of getting to know Tina, and they never gave her a chance. They weren't open to knowing Tina, all because of their prejudice against Irish people. I believe the only family member of Richard's who welcomed Tina was his grandmother, and she and Tina built a tight bond. Richard was so detached from his family that he didn't learn of his mom's death until 6 months after she died. It's quite sad. However, I suppose it does show Richard's commitment and love for Tina. I just think that's a big decision to have to make at a young age. Richard and Tina moved to Ireland together, back to where Tina was from, in Fermoy, not too long after their relationship began. Tina was last seen by someone other than Richard on March 19th, 2017. Tina and Richard attended a car boot sale in Carrituale County, Cork, Ireland. And if you're wondering what in the world a car boot sale is, you're not the only one, or at least I hope I'm not the only one who had never heard of these sales.
Yeah, I was also wondering what that was.
Yeah, it's an event where people come together in an open area. It kind of looks like a big parking lot or car park, and they sell an assortment of items out of their car. If you're in the US, it's similar to a garage sale, except you're selling stuff from your car, not your driveway.
So it's more like a kind of like a flea market situation?
Kind of. Tina and Richard were known to frequent these car boot sales, where Tina would typically sell clothing and other odds and ends. People who saw Richard and Tina at the sale that day recall that there was nothing too remarkable or unusual about the behavior from the pair, but allegedly, some people at the boot sale did recall that Tina made a comment that she would never do anything to hurt Richard. This comment, without context, seems strange to me, but when Richard was later asked about it, he didn't seem to find it as strange as I did, but put a pin in that for now. After the sale, according to Richard, they returned to their home in Yeovil. The following day, March 20th, which happens to be my birthday, we have Richard's accounts of events and no one else's. No one came forward to say they saw Tina or spoke to her that day. So I want to be clear that what I'm about to share is from Richard and Richard alone. The day started out normally. Richard prepared a cup of tea and a slice of toast for Tina. Around 10 a.m., Richard went to the grocery store Aldi in Dungarvan to purchase a few items at Tina's request. She specifically asked him to run this errand. He did not decide to run it himself. First question here. I naturally popped Dungarvan and Yeovil into Google Maps, and they're about a 30-minute drive away from each other, 31 kilometers or 19 miles. There is an Aldi today located in Yeovil, but when I look on Google Earth, it doesn't appear that that Aldi was there at the time when Tina disappeared.
So was there closer grocery store in their town? I'm assuming there was, but did she want him to specifically go to Aldi?
Yeah, there would be a closer grocery store, but I don't know if she specifically wanted him to go to Aldi. That wasn't really stated, but maybe, I mean, he did say the request came from her, so maybe she did say Aldi specifically, so he knew I have to go to Dungarvan. But I kind of assume that maybe he did more than just go to Aldi when he went out, and maybe that's just kind of what's been presented in the media.
That was probably on the way with other errands that he was going to run, I'm assuming.
Right, or maybe there were places in Dungarvan specifically that he wanted to go to, and it just kind of got lost in the articles about this case. But if anyone from Ireland, I guess specifically this part of Ireland, is listening and has any thoughts on why he would drive to Dungarvan from Yeovil for this trip, would love to hear it, because I don't know. Richard returned home from running errands around 2 p.m. So about 4 hours later, which prompts my second question, why did going to Aldi take so long? Again, in this case, I just have to presume he did more than that while he was out. And that's why it took so long. But it's not totally clear to me. I couldn't find much elaboration on Richard's part about his errands that day. But once he got home, he found Tina's house keys on the floor. Her phone was sitting on a table. And their two dogs were alone in the home. Tina was nowhere to be found. This was a strange sight for Richard. He remarked how it was especially odd that the dogs were left alone because she typically brought them with her when she left the home. Richard discovered that two suitcases were missing, as well as some of Tina's clothes and a whopping 26,000 euros. This was money that accumulated from the sale of the house and the car boot sales they attended over the years. The cash was kept in their home rather than in a bank because at one point, Richard claimed unemployment and putting that cash in the bank could have affected his ability to claim unemployment. Quick side note here, Richard shared in an interview with radio host Neil Prendeville, and I'll be referencing this interview several times throughout this episode, but he told him that he went to jail in Ireland for a short period, about a month, because he was caught claiming unemployment while working. This was back in 2003, so well before Tina's disappearance. I think this made for some flashy media headlines, but it's really not that interesting in this case when you learn that it isn't directly or even indirectly tied to Tina's disappearance. Not that it's unimportant, because it does tell us something about Richard, in my opinion, but had he been arrested for domestic violence or something of that nature, that'd be a different story. When Richard was asked about his jail time, he was upfront about it. He didn't try to hide it. The only thing I found odd was that in the interview and other interviews he's done, he doesn't acknowledge that he shouldn't have done what he did, committing social welfare fraud. He just kind of acknowledges it as a thing that happened. And when researching this case, I try not to read too far into Richard's words, but in this instance, it was more about what he didn't say. Do you find that odd?
Maybe he was just doing the best he can to support his family. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to find the silver lining here. It is weird that he doesn't feel any remorse about it.
Doesn't show any remorse.
Yeah, he's just kind of acknowledging it. That does seem a little weird to me, but maybe he's fully justified in his head about doing it. And that's really the only justification I can see from his perspective.
Yeah, I guess just support himself and Tina. That's why he was doing it. But he doesn't give an explanation. I guess I was just thinking if I did something wrong, I would never do something like this. But you know, when you make a mistake or you do something wrong, most people acknowledge, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or that was a mistake, or maybe even try to justify why they did it or provide some sort of excuse. So, I don't know. It could be nothing. It could just be that he didn't feel the need to justify it or to explain it in any way. But it just kind of made me wonder, does he feel guilty?
Yeah, I mean, and it's so far in the past. I mean, it's 14 years in the past. You said it was 2003, and this is 2017 when she went missing. So maybe it's so far in the back of his mind at this point that he really just doesn't think of it anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. And I don't know. I'm just glad he addressed it at least so people didn't have to wonder.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to justify him by any means. I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right. So besides his cell phone still being in the home, Tina's purse, bank cards, and identification were there too. Tina didn't have a passport, so that couldn't be missing, which is an important detail when we consider where Tina could be. So the suitcases and cash being gone indicated that Tina might have left of her own volition. And evidently, this was Richard's assumption as well, so much so that he didn't tell anyone Tina was missing until 4 days later, which he would later come to regret. Richard called several family members of Tina to see if they knew where she was, but when they reported that they didn't, he decided to officially report her missing to Gardaí, the Irish police.
That's so long. 4 days? You can't find her for 4 days? And I would be worried within like 8 hours. Less than that, maybe.
I would hope you would be worried in fewer than 8 hours.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Probably, it'd probably be like, I don't know, an hour max if I didn't know where you were going.
Yeah, but I guess 8 hours is pretty short compared to the 4 days that Richard waited. But I guess it was because he assumed she was off with family members she had in Fermoy for a few days. According to Richard, it wasn't unusual for Tina to go spend a few days with family on a whim.
I mean, would she tell him that she was going to do that, or would she just go do it?
Yeah, I think she generally would tell him. I don't know why in this situation when she didn't tell him that he thought that's what she was doing.
Yeah, that seems odd to me.
I agree. And I also found it interesting how it seemed like Richard noticed the missing suitcases and cash right away. If I came home and you were nowhere to be found, I think it would take me a long time to realize that a suitcase was missing. So it seemed like he had some indication that she went off somewhere, like I said, to be with her family. Despite the appearance that Tina may have left of her own accord, media appeals were made and an investigation began. Hours and hours of CCTV footage from the area surrounding Tina's home was reviewed, and she was not found on any footage. If Tina left that day, it seems most likely it was by car, not by foot. And if she left by car, then someone else transported her because Tina didn't drive. Her sister came out and said someone must have given her a helping hand to be able to do this. There was a review of footage from Irish seaports and airports. Again, no sign of Tina. According to the Irish Independent, UK police checked for signs of Tina at their ports and airports, considering she used to live in England, albeit a long time ago. It makes sense that they would connect with UK police, but it was all fruitless. There has been no activity on her bank accounts since she disappeared, and there's been no phone activity either. According to Richard, his home was searched without his knowledge. He was not home, but evidently Gardaí didn't find anything of interest. Just a few months after Tina went missing in July 2017, Richard contacted Gardaí to inform them he spotted two suitcases in a Tesco car park near their home that looked similar to the two suitcases he noticed were missing from his home. However, after a forensic examination of the suitcases, it was determined that these suitcases were not connected to Tina or her disappearance. So they were really coming up short on even finding a sign of Tina at all. There were various alleged sightings of Tina in Ireland and the UK that followed her disappearance, one of which indicated a man with, quote, links to Tina was seen acting strangely in the woods in March 2017. The same month Tina went missing, with the possibility that the man entered the woods with a blonde woman but left without her. And the location in question here is Mitchell's Wood outside of the village of Castle Martyr in County Cork, which is an 18-minute drive away or 18.2 kilometers, 11.3 miles from their home in Yeovil.
I'm sure you'll get there, but did police search these woods? Did they try to, you know, use search dogs and try to find any trace of Tina?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
This sighting prompted an extensive search of the 40 acres of land by Gardaí in March 2018 that included the use of cadaver dogs. There were fragments of clothing discovered in the search that were sent to the state laboratory for forensic examination, but it was unclear if the items were connected to Tina at all.
So this was a year later, right?
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering, could the dogs pick up a scent that far? And I mean, between when she went missing and when they did the search, I mean, it's been a year. I mean, could a scent still be active?
Well, these were cadaver dogs. So they were looking for the scent of human remains, in which I think they would be able to pick that up. I didn't read that they brought in live scent dogs, because at that point, if Tina were seen there back in March 2017, they wouldn't be able to pick up her scent. So, like I said, it was unclear if the clothing items they found were connected to Tina, but because we're 5 years out from when the search occurred, I think it's unlikely that these items that were found had any link to Tina, unless that information is just being withheld. It should be noted that these woods are located on the route from Cartuil, where the car boot sale was, to Yoel. So they passed these woods on their way home, but Richard has said they never stopped at this location and they'd never been there in the past. Yoel is a seaside town, so underwater searches were conducted by the Garda water unit and nasal divers as well, with no results. Scrubland and Yoel was searched, and again, no results. Richard also discussed a sighting from a man who claimed he saw Tina walking on a beach on a cold day in January 2018, so 10 months after she disappeared. This woman was dressed in little clothing, walking a dog. He went up to the woman and told her that she should wrap herself up. She could get sick if she were out long, but this woman brushed him off. This man allegedly told Richard that he was more than 100% certain that it was Tina. Neil Prendeville alluded to this sighting not being credible in his interview with Richard, because there were reports that this man came forward in another missing persons case to say he spotted that person too. I can't confirm or deny those claims, but I think the credibility of all the sightings has to be questioned to a great extent. Despite all the search efforts and the investigative tactics that were deployed, no real sign of Tina was ever uncovered. According to the Irish Independent, a Garda source said, quote, "All the indications are that Tina never left Ireland," unquote. Richard has done a number of interviews, one of which I've already mentioned, and he's made quite a few public statements, but he has also expressed dissatisfaction and frustration with the way the media has portrayed him. So that's why when we've discussed him, we've tried to keep most information about him from the Neil Prendeville interview, because that was a long interview, about an hour, and it's his words directly, not the media's interpretation of his words. Richard has come out and said that at times, Tina could have a hot temper and she would hit him, but then she would quickly be remorseful and apologize to him. One statement he made multiple times was that the worst he'd ever done was hold her really tightly and, quote, "love the bones off of her." I've never heard someone say they love the bones off of someone in my life. So that was a new one for me.
Maybe it's an Irish saying.
Maybe, yeah. But he said he never hit Tina back when she would go at him. So based on Richard's comments, there was strife in their marriage at times, but according to him, they always worked through it and had this mutual love and respect for each other. We have to remember that they were together for a very long time, 28 years.
So you said he has done these public interviews. How did the general public, how was their view of him after these interviews?
The impression I got, and I've mentioned that Richard was dissatisfied and frustrated, that was for a reason. The impression I got was that a lot of the media outlets, especially more the tabloids, didn't present Richard the way he wanted to be presented. The headlines sometimes seemed clickbaity, right? Where you're trying to get everyone's attention, and it didn't portray him the way he wanted to be portrayed or how most people would want to be portrayed.
Yeah, the spouse is always a hot topic within, you know, disappearance cases, murder cases, stuff like that. So I can see how he was roped into these clickbaity type of articles.
Yeah, and I agree. The spouse or partner always has to be looked at in a case like this. And I think as we get on, once you consider the circumstances, I do think Richard's interesting in this case. And Neil Prendeville kind of poked and prodded at Richard during his interview. And one question was essentially, could Tina have left because Richard's controlling or jealous? He even asked if Richard ever felt he was punching below his weight with her. But Richard adamantly denied this and said, Tina's not the type of person to let someone control her. And she's an independent woman. He explained that the people who know them as a couple would never say he was controlling or overbearing.
Kind of seems the opposite. if she was more abusive towards him.
Yeah, it does kind of seem that way if everything he's saying is true. Now, there is a confusing detail in this case that I want to address, and there are allusions to events that went on in Tina's life, and it seems Richard's life as well, with a specific reference to the year 2012. Richard explained that something happened in 2012 that was an exceedingly stressful time in their lives, and Tina allegedly made Richard vow that he would never let her take antidepressants. He won't share more on this event or other events because he knows Tina and her family would not want him to talk about it. I'm just confused as to why this was brought up in the first place. If no one wants to talk about it, I think it's fair to not share what happened, have some privacy here, but why even allude to it at all?
Yeah, she kind of seemed like the kind of person that would make decisions for herself. And if she was battling depression, I don't know why she would make Richard vow that he would never let her take antidepressants.
Yeah, I had the same thought too. Tina definitely seemed like the type of person to make her own decisions and control her own life. So I didn't really understand in the context of their relationship why she would be telling him to not let her take antidepressants. I don't know. I initially thought maybe she just held a stereotype about antidepressants, but it seems like there's more of a reason behind the statement than just that. What I will say is that it is evident that Tina suffered from depression at times. It's unclear if it was a constant or more so brought on by certain situations. Richard has shared this about Tina and said 2 months prior to her disappearance, their pet parrot died, and Tina was broken up and distraught about it. According to the Irish Times, Richard said the bird's death hit her like losing a child. He also remarked that she had been crying at night in his arms for 6 or 7 months leading up to her disappearance. I don't think we can just brush these details off. I mean, suicide does seem like a possibility in this case, given her mental state, but it doesn't match with the scene in the house Richard allegedly discovered, meaning the missing suitcases and money. If Tina planned to die by suicide, it seems strange that she would take all of the cash and the suitcases. Richard said no matter how depressed Tina was, she would never harm herself because she loved herself too much. It also doesn't make sense that if she loved her parrot so much that she would be willing to leave her dogs behind permanently. But I can see a scenario where if she planned to leave temporarily, maybe she would be okay leaving the dogs only because she knew she'd return. I think there are two distinct possibilities here. Either Tina willingly left her life or she was a victim of foul play. A third, less probable possibility is that Tina willingly left her life and met with foul play after doing so. Based on everything Richard has said, it appears Tina left willingly. So unfortunately, we have to look at the frightening possibility that Richard was involved in Tina's disappearance. The problem with Tina leaving on her own is that most of the evidence supporting this theory comes from one person. I'm not asserting that Richard is an unreliable source, but it would be more powerful if other people could corroborate his story. For example, if a neighbor saw Tina leave their home with the two suitcases, or if she told a friend that she wanted to start a new life, or if there was CCTV footage captured of her virtually anywhere.
Yeah, we're kind of on a crutch here because the only information we have is from Richard. And like you said, there's no other sources of information. So it's pretty difficult to make assumptions on what happened to her when we only have this one pool of knowledge from Richard.
Exactly. And there were the sightings of her, but none of those panned out or led to finding Tina. So how credible were they? I mean, maybe it was Tina, but that can't be confirmed. According to the Irish Times, Richard said there were times in 2012, again, we don't know what happened in 2012, but Tina allegedly told him if she ever decided to leave him and he came after her, she would contact Gardy. I mean, if true, this is an odd comment. I can't imagine ever saying something like that to you.
I mean, saying something like that would bring immediate concerns to me.
Yeah, it's not something you expect to come out of your partner's mouth at any point. And I don't know how I could just let that go. How do you just move on from a statement like that? That seems so bizarre. When asked if Tina could leave on her own, Richard said, quote, knowing Tina the way I do and the way she was when we first met, she wouldn't just trust anybody. It'd have to be someone she'd known for a long time. As for who it could be, we only live 40 minutes from Primoy. She was born and raised there, so it could be one of 1,000 people, unquote. So it sounds like he thinks someone, if she did this, he thinks someone helped her.
Okay, I have a question, and this probably goes more in the background situation, but I know you said Richard's family pretty much cut him off when he decided to marry Tina. Did Tina's family do the same to her?
No.
Okay, so she was still in contact with them pretty much all throughout their marriage, right?
Oh, yeah. And he even suggested that she could have gone to be with her family.
Okay.
And he even suggested she could have gone to the UK because she still had family members there, but her family disagreed with that. They said they had been in contact with the family members in the UK, and Tina is not with them, and she has made no attempt to contact them. When asked about the comments Tina made at the car boot sale in regard to never hurting Richard, he said, quote, the bit about not wanting to hurt me is to say that I'm not with any other man. That's what I pick it up as, unquote. This case is just so strange. And I think it was at that point when I read that quote from Richard that I realized there is a complexity to Richard and Tina's relationship that we will never understand. Because why would Tina feel the need to tell people she wasn't with another man? She'd been with Richard for 28 years. I'm pretty sure at that point, it doesn't need to be stated that she's not seeing another man.
Yeah, and the only information that we have is from Richard, like we touched on a few times. So we don't really know what the dynamic of their relationship was really like.
Yeah, it seemed to be a complex relationship, taking everything he said. And that is just his interpretation of what she was saying. But wouldn't his interpretation be better than anyone's? I mean, they'd been together an extremely long time. I would think he would know what she was trying to say when she made those comments.
Yeah, unless he wanted to skew it somehow.
So yes, that's a possibility. Tina's family has come forward to say that it would be out of character for her to just up and leave and not tell a soul. According to Extra, Tina's aunt said that she didn't think Tina would go anywhere on her own because she hadn't gone far on her own throughout her whole life. I think it's important to get the family's perspective because without knowing Tina, it's not too difficult to think, okay, maybe she just wanted some space. Yeah, it's strange, but maybe this is something she's done before. But when you hear from her family that this is an unusual event, it makes you question everything. We have to put ourselves in the shoes of the people we're talking about in every episode. At least I think we do. And I think about if I were Tina, okay, as an outsider, you might think, oh, she chose to go off on her own. But I guarantee that my family and friends would tell you that, no, I wouldn't do that. And that would be absolutely uncharacteristic of me.
Yeah, and not a small detail, but a detail of this is her two dogs. She seemed like she really loved them. I just can't see how she could just leave them behind.
Yeah, that especially, I think, resonates with us because of our dog. We would never just leave Brownie.
Right.
I mean, it would have to be the most dire of circumstances. And even in that situation,
no. I can never do it.
I know. And even in that situation, we would set up care for him. I can't even think of.
Yeah. I couldn't just abandon Brownie. And I can't imagine Tina would do the same to her dogs.
Right. So then it makes you wonder if she planned to temporarily leave and then something happened along the way. But why take the 26,000 euros if it was just temporary?
Yeah, and the two suitcases.
And you can imagine Richard's going to be pretty upset with the missing money. That was their money. So to just take it and then plan to leave temporarily and come back. Well, she knows Richard's not going to be happy when she comes back. I mean, he'd be happy to have her back, but there would be an issue probably with just taking all of that money.
Yeah, I'm kind of rattling something around in my brain. Maybe she was a victim of some sort of abduction and whoever had abducted her made her go back to the house and get whatever money she had, get the suitcases, make it look like she had left and you know, she had been abducted.
Yeah, that is a possibility I've seen tossed around too. You would think the security footage nearby would pick up a strange vehicle leaving from their house or something, but I guess it's possible. And how would they even know, though, that she had the money in the house? Richard said it was really well hidden. That's what he said. So I don't see that how these random abductors would know that there was 26,000 euros in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you point that out, I mean, it does seem a little far-fetched, but
it's still possible.
Yeah. I think it's still a possibility.
But ultimately, if we believe Richard and take out your theory just for a moment, if that didn't happen, then Tina absolutely left her life on her own. That's the only way you can really explain the missing suitcases and cash and ominous comments. But where is she? And why has there been no trace of her? And I think that's probably why this case gripped the public in Ireland. Ireland is a small country. This would be less strange in the US, I think. It's just as if Tina's disappeared into thin air. This was a really big case at the time it happened in 2017, and it continues to be of interest to people in Ireland.
Yeah, I think if I have my geography right, I believe Ireland is only about the size of Indiana, if that's right. Maybe the size of Missouri.
Yeah.
But it's not a large country by any means. I mean, you'd still be able to, I would think you'd still be able to run away and never be seen again, but it's not a large country by any means.
Yeah, I agree that you could probably still do it, but it's a lot harder, I think. Whereas in the US, if you live in New York, for example, well, you can fly to California or drive to California, and now it feels like you're a world away, right? Whereas in Ireland, you just have fewer places to be hiding. And I just kept going back to in my head. It seems like someone would have seen her. And yes, there were the sightings of her, but I mean, a serious sighting of her that could actually be or would actually be thought of as credible.
Yeah, if she was really serious about running away, then maybe she'd dye her hair, cut her hair, go the full nine yards and completely change her appearance. I'm sure she knew that it was going to be all over the news. There were going to be articles. It was going to be on the local channel. So in my mind, if she wanted to run away, she would change her appearance, cut her hair. Like I said, cut her hair, dye her hair, do something to inhibit the potential for a sighting of her.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that could explain why people haven't recognized her, because all of the pictures flashing around of her are Tina with her bright blonde hair and her fun outfits, someone who does kind of stand out. So she could have, like you said, totally changed her appearance, and that would explain why no one has actually found her. But of course, we have to address the possibility that Richard was involved in Tina's disappearance. there's really no solid evidence that Richard harmed Tina that the public is aware of, and he has not been categorized as a suspect by Gardaí. But based on some of the media in this case, you would think there's evidence. But it seems it's the absence of a trace of Tina that leads people to believe Richard could have had a hand in her disappearance. One of my biggest questions in Richard's story of how he found the house is if he thought she went to be with family for some time, why would she need a lump sum of cash? That should have triggered alarm bells immediately. But then again, if he did harm Tina, why would he wait 4 days to report her missing? Logically, he'd have to know the less suspicious thing to do would be to report her missing when he got back home that day.
So if Richard did have a hand in this, I'm kind of assuming Aldi would have CCTVs ready to go, just recording 24/7. I'm kind of wondering if they had footage of him entering the Aldi. And
no, I didn't see that reported on that they confirmed his whereabouts that day.
Okay. Wow.
With CCTV footage. That doesn't mean they didn't. I'm just saying I didn't see it reported on. Okay. But we also have to consider that nobody else saw Tina on March 20th. People saw her the day before. There is a possibility that something happened the night of the car boot sale or on the way home, and Tina never made it home. I hate to think of that possibility, but I do think it's there.
It's such a bizarre scene though when he says her keys are on the floor, phone's on a table, and it's very specific.
Yeah, it does seem kind of, I guess I think in my head, if you were to stage this kind of scene, is that how you would stage it? But how do, I don't know. It's like, we keep going back to this. It's all from Richard. We don't even know that the 26,000 euros is actually missing. We don't know that the two suitcases are actually missing because no one knew about the two suitcases besides Richard.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying that he's making it up. It just makes it hard when you're trying to look at this case from every angle. If everything is from him, then it's just hard to do that. But despite what some media outlets have reported, Richard shared in the Neil Prendeville interview that his car was never searched following Tina's disappearance. About 6 months after she went missing, he decided he wanted to sell his car for a few reasons. He was being followed by the media and was tired of it. The car was old and it was a petrol car, and he was doing a lot of driving. Once Richard decided he wanted to get rid of his car, he informed Gardaí that he wanted to do this just to see if it was okay with them, at which point they asked him to bring the car in. Neil pressed Richard on this and questioned it. It seemed strange that they wouldn't search this car until he told them he wanted to get rid of it. I don't think Richard is lying about his car not being searched, considering the Gardaí could publicly confirm or deny that statement, although they have chosen to refrain from making a comment on this. The car should have been searched early on, the same way Richard and Tina's home was searched early on. So it was surprising to learn that, according to Richard, it wasn't. There have been various reports about Richard taking a lie detector test. He said at times that he didn't want to, but then at other times he said he would be willing to. He'd just need to be in the right mental state. But from what I could find, he hasn't actually taken one. Tina's sister, Teresa, said, quote, "I have one very special message for her. Tina, if you are out there, your family is here, come to us. We love you and will help you in any way possible. If you need us, we will come to you. Whatever it takes, just let us know that you are fine and you are safe," unquote. She went on to say that it's hard for her family to have no answers in Tina's case. Not knowing is the hardest part. So what are your final thoughts in this case?
So obviously, I'm a little bit frustrated that the only pool of information that we have is from Richard. But I suppose with that said, with what we know, I'm kind of leaning towards that she just wanted to leave. She was obviously, maybe not obviously, but she was battling depression. She was in a somewhat poor state of mind. And I think she wanted to leave, and she obviously had to have someone help her because she didn't have a car. So that's kind of where I'm leaning right now, is that she did want to leave.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page, kind of not. I think what I struggle with in this case is, why is her family saying this is so out of character? Why would she leave her dogs? Why has no one seen her, like actually seen Tina? That's what I struggle with, and in the theory that she truly just left her life. And if she did, then I guess I'm sorry for even making this podcast episode and spreading the word of her disappearance. But I think there's a chance she didn't leave on her own, or maybe she did and then something happened along the way or afterward. So we don't have the answers. I would love to hear what our listeners think about this case. I'm very interested in hearing, do people think Tina left on her own? Do we think something else happened to her? Let us know. You can find us on Key to the Case podcast on Instagram, or you can email us, as always, at keytothecase@gmail.com. Tina is described as being 5'7", of medium build, with blonde, shoulder-length hair and blue eyes. Tina's loved ones continue to appeal for information that could lead to Tina, but for now, they are stuck not knowing where she is or what happened to her. Her family truly believes if she were out there, at this point, she would have made contact with them. She wouldn't want them to suffer as they are right now. If you have any information, you can contact Middleton Garda Station on 021-462-1550 or the Garda Confidential Line on 1800-666-111. Thank you, as always, for listening to this episode, and we'll be back next week with an all-new case. Bye.
Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.